see one of those messages where you will probably say, oh my, instead of praise God. All right? Because this is a hard message. This is a hard message because it was a hard message that Jesus gave to his disciples. Okay? And so what had happened was that the disciples, they saw the wonderful things that Jesus was doing. And they knew that this was all being done by faith. Jesus, when he came to earth, Philippians tells us that he set aside the independent use of his godly attributes. Okay? Theologians call it the great outpouring because he divested himself. It isn't that he stopped being God, but he chose not to use his godly attributes. All right? Because if he did all the things that he did and we're admonished to live our lives like Christ, and he did all these things because, hey, I'm God, I can do that, I can walk on water, I can, you know, still the waves, I can stop the storm and all that good stuff, and then we're told that we need to be like this too, how are we going to do that? We're not God. But the Word of God tells us that he, in Philippians, he gave up the independent use of his godly attributes, and what he did, he says, I only do what I see the Father doing. Whatever God tells me to do, I do. Well, guess what the Christian life is all about? Okay, doing whatever God tells us to do through the power of the Holy Spirit. And last week we talked about the baptism of Jesus Christ, where it was one of the two times in Scripture where we saw Father, Son, and Holy Spirit together at one time. All right, so Jesus received the baptism of the Holy Ghost, and it was through the Holy Spirit that he was able to do the things that he did. All right, now, don't say, well, I guess one of these days I'll have to hang on a tree and be the redeemer for all the sins of the world. No, only Jesus Christ, the Son of God, could do that. But he does tell us that we walk a supernatural lifestyle. And I don't understand. Believe me, I wish I could pray and miracles, boom, 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 happening all around me. And I'm sure they are. I just can't see them or whatever's going on. But if I were to tell you, look it, you just do the best you can till Jesus comes back. Do the best you can until you wake up in glory. And, you know, don't bother praying or anything. The Christian walk would be so meaningless. But Jesus is encouraging us, expect the unexpected. Expect the supernatural. So, the disciples, they're watching the things that Jesus has done. And it's not that they haven't experienced the miracles, because Jesus has sent them out by twos and threes, and they came back and they said, wow, even the demons are subject to us. We've been casting out devils left and right. This is really great. But they're coming to Jesus and they're saying, we need more faith. And Jesus, he's answering their request. He said, if you had faith, even faith the size of a mustard seed, you would be able to say to this mulberry tree, be cast into the depths, and it would be cast into the, it would obey you. All right, now we've all heard sermons that talk about how small a mustard seed is and all that. And we call it mustard seed faith. Alright, I thank God that it doesn't even require the faith of a mustard seed to accept Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior, because mustard seed faith is quite a big step above saving faith. And saving faith is pretty miraculous. If you understand what God does in the spiritual when you accept Jesus as your Lord and Savior, boom, your name is written in the Lamb's Book of Life. Boom, the devil slapped back. Take your hands off of him. Take these chains that bind him. They don't belong on him anymore, devil. He's my child. She's my child. I mean, there are just wonderful things that happen when we accept Jesus as our Lord and Savior. We may not see it, but it doesn't make it any less the real, okay? Any less the fact. But it seems that a mustard seed amount of faith is pretty supernatural. I don't know how many trees you've ever uprooted by faith. I mean, I've been working out in my garden, and sometimes I can't even pull out a morning glory. I mean, those things are in there pretty deep, all right? And yet Jesus said, if you just had this faith, then you could do this. And it was not because he was saying, you should be able to do this already. He was admonishing them, saying, you don't even have this amount of faith. And then he gives an illustration, and folks, this is hard. I mean, it stepped all over my toes when I was reading it, and hey, I'm really trying to do the best I can, and I almost hesitate to read it to you, because it's going to step all over your toes also. Because Jesus told them, he got a slave. They had indentured servants at the time. Not slavery like we had here in the United States. You didn't own somebody. Somebody had gone into slavery because of a debt that was owed or whatever. So they had indentured servants. And the servants were given certain responsibilities. And so here comes this servant. You've sent him out to the field to do whatever he's doing in the field. And he comes back in. And Jesus said, when he comes back in and he's been working in the field, and what kind of a condition are you in when you've been working in the field? Spotlessly clean? Oh, no, you're just covered with dirt and mud and all that good stuff. And there's a reason why in our farm home houses we had things called mud rooms. Because if you walked into Mama's house with the manure on your boots, ooh, not good. All right, that had to be scraped off before you came in, and then you took those boots off, and if they had anything on them, we had a hose bib outside the door, and you washed those things off. But here Jesus is saying, which one of you, if you've got your servant who's been given his a task, he comes in and you say to him, hey, I'm just getting ready to sit down and eat. Pull up a chair. Slide up to the table. You can eat with me. All right, he's being rewarded for doing what his chores are. Jesus said, no, you wouldn't say, come here at once and take your place at the table. You would rather say to him, prepare supper for me. You've got responsibilities. There are responsibilities. Prepare supper for me. Put on your apron and serve me while I eat and drink. Okay? And then later, afterwards, you can eat and drink. All right? Do you thank your slave? Oh, look at you went and planted all that corn. Oh, that's just the greatest I've ever seen. Oh, thank you so much. No, you don't thank your slave for doing what he was told to do. That's his job. Now, an attaboy every once in a while is nice. It kind of makes the day go a little bit easier. But what Jesus is trying to say here is that as servants, you have responsibilities. And those responsibilities, just because you've done what you're responsible to do, doesn't give you any more favor with the master. He said, now that you've done, you know, you've just done all that you've done, you only do what you've done. It's just what you're supposed to do. And so he's telling the disciples, look it, you're asking for this faith. And I'll tell you what, it's not much. If I were to give you this faith, he's telling his disciples, it wouldn't be but a mustard seed's amount. It wouldn't be much. I'd give you this little bit of faith, and you'd be able to walk down the road, and man, you'd be tossing trees into the sea and whatever. You'd have so much faith. Well, why should I give you that much faith? All you've been doing is what you're supposed to do. And so he would say to the church today, and again, most of you know I've got a real problem with the prosperity gospel. Alright? Prosperity gospel works in two countries. It works in America, because in America you can work hard and make something. It works in Australia, because you can work hard and make something of yourself. And in both of those countries, you have a great prosperity gospel. God wants to make his children rich. I've seen what happens when God's children get rich. Most of them don't survive it spiritually. Matter of fact, I was having a little one-on-one with God one day and told him all the great things I could do if he were to just entrust me with X amount of money. And as it was coming out of my mouth, I realized how stupid that was. He already knows what I would do with that money. If I would be doing great things with it in accordance with His will, He already would have given it to me. All right? But just like a loving father, in other places, Jesus said, you talk about a loving father, which if you fathers or parents, if your son wants to, a piece of bread or an egg, are you going to give him a poisonous serpent or a scorpion to play with? And yet, that's what would happen to a lot of God's children should He answer that prayer for wealth. It would be handing us a deadly serpent or a scorpion. He says, first, prove yourselves faithful with the responsibilities you already have. You just do with what you've already been given. And when the Father says, okay, now I can entrust you with a little bit more, it's the parable of the talents, then I can entrust you with a little bit more. But so many of us, we're wanting to do these great things, and God has said, I left you a real simple action plan. I told you when I leave that I want you to be my witnesses. I want you to be my witnesses here in Jerusalem. That was the city. I want you to be my witnesses in Samaria. That would be like Texas, a greater area, a region. And then the uttermost parts of the world. And most of us haven't evangelized our next door neighbors. We haven't made sure they know about Jesus. And hey, I'm saying us. There have been many times when somebody, we have a rent house on one side of us. So we have, kind of a revolving door type of a thing full of neighbors. They're there for a year or two and then they move on. And I have to be very conscientious to go over and sometimes I'll grab one of the pizzas that I'll pick up on Sunday night or Wednesday night, and I'll take it over to them. And I said, hey, I see you're moving in, got some kids, maybe you'd like a pizza, it's not much, but you throw it in the oven, it'll taste pretty good. By the way, my name is Dale, my wife is Terry, we live next door, we're both of us are Christians, and, we would, when we have a chance, we'd really like to share that with you. And at that point, we usually get to, oh, that's great, I'm a believer too. Okay, good job done. All right, I've made sure that those people are believers. So, God has given me a next-door neighbor over here. Now, this one over here has been here for a while, and he is a believer, but he has a rough time of it. How many of you know that alcohol can just really entrap your heart? And so I've taken them over to the rehab center and all that good stuff. But see, sometimes being a good witness is more than just telling somebody you're a believer and sharing Jesus with them. Sometimes it's getting involved in their life. And, taking them to rehab or to the doctor or to somebody. Last time I took him in, he was not happy with me. I can beat this on my own. And I said, you haven't for the past 6 years. What makes you think you're going to do it now? And, he didn't, when he got back, he was there for a month and he didn't speak to me for months. He was so mad at me. And I was thinking, I was beginning to question, did I do the right thing? And finally he came back and he says, I know it was a hard thing to do, but thank you for taking me there. Okay? So, this is just the last words of Jesus. You'll be my witnesses. You're going to be my witnesses. Some of you just going to witness locally. Some of you might have a citywide testimony that you can share. And others might be like folks that have like this church. Terry and I are missionaries to India. We've been to Venezuela and taken the gospel a lot of places around the world. So great, that's a door that God has opened up for us. But not everybody is responsible for doing that, just as only the ones for whom the door is open. But we have been called, the last words, I want you to be my witnesses. I want you to tell the world about me. And then when we come to him and we're asking for this, that, and the other, the question is, did you do what I already told you to do? Now, I'm not saying that if you're sick, don't ask for healing. I'm not saying we need to take every request to God. But when we are really looking at something supernatural in our lives, and, you know, and, okay, we're going to take this to God, then the question needs to be, have I been faithful with what he's already given me? Have I been faithful being that testimony? And ladies, you've got it easy now. I know when we were growing up, you couldn't go and get cookie dough in the refrigerator section of your Brookshire Brothers or Kroger store or whatever. Now you can go ahead and get chocolate chip cookie dough over there and bring it home and throw that on a pie pan or a cookie sheet and cook that thing up and take fresh homemade. Well, I did cook it at home, that's for sure. You know, chocolate chip cookies to somebody. But you see, I'm just telling you, these are little ways that we can participate in what God is doing. And we need to make sure that we're already doing as servants. Now, we like the idea of being the sons and daughters of the king. Yeah, don't tread on me. You know, Father God is, you know, who I answer to. But at the same time that we have this family relationship, we're also called to serve him, to be his servants. And that puts us in a little bit different of a position. Now, he's calling the shots, and it's not our responsibility to ask why or where or what. It's just, yes, sir, I will do that. And so today I would just encourage you. I know that a lot of us are trusting God for a lot of things. But let's make sure that we're already faithfully doing, if we're a good servant. And I know this is the third time that I've said it. If he's our master and we're a good servant, and he said, I'm getting ready to leave, and I want you to do these three things, you're going to be my witnesses. Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, utter parts of the world. Have we done that? And most of us have been believers for a day or two. Have we done that? And so, if you can't afford chocolate chip cookie dough, let me know. I will get you a bucket of chocolate chip cookie dough, and you may want to consider this as your ministry to the Lord, that when somebody new moves in within your little sphere of apartments or cottages or whatever, you see the moving van there, cook up a dozen cookies, take it over there. Welcome to the community. And my name is so-and-so. I believe in Jesus as my Lord and Savior. And you just leave that open. They already know where you stand now. Okay? Think about that. We're always asking of God, are we doing what he's already told us to do? Amen? Father God, we thank you for your word this morning.